Welcome. You're listening to Latin Waves with your hosts, Sylvia and Stuart Richardson. Latin Waves is more than just hot rhythms. This is a show about community, about creating a culture that is inclusive and based on fairness. Because everyone deserves dignity, respect, and has something to contribute. A new world is possible, and it all starts with us.
The Ethics Commissioner recommends penalties to the legislature. And the penalties are that you could be reprimanded or suspended for a particular period. You could be fined up to $5,000. It's possible you could lose your seat. But the legislature has to approve of that penalty. So when there's a majority government, if a premier or a cabinet minister was caught, the members of the ruling party are not going to vote to kick them out.
That's the voice of co-founder of Democracy Watch, Duff Conacher. On this week's show, we speak to Duff about money in politics, some of the issues involved, and how to clean it up. So stay tuned. You're listening to Latin Waves, and on the line, I'm very privileged to have Duff Conacher, who's co-founder of Democracy Watch. Welcome to the show, Duff.
Thank you very much.
Today, we're going to talk a little bit about money in politics. We're on the eve of a BC election. There's an Ontario election coming up shortly. There's been a lot of media about Christy Clark's corporate donors. Can you talk about the kind of laws and restrictions that are currently on the books around taking money from contributors or donors in politics in BC or any province in Canada?
BC has one of the worst systems in Canada. It really doesn't have much of a law other than you're supposed to give your own money. But Elections BC, really, there's lots of evidence that they're just being negligent in very weak enforcement. So unlimited donations are allowed from anyone, including businesses and unions, even if they're foreign businesses and foreign unions. The Yukon and PEI and Newfoundland and Labrador also allow the same. And Saskatchewan allows unlimited donations from anyone, but you do have to be a resident of the province. But for businesses, that means just have someone in the province working for the business. So really, even Saskatchewan allows donations from businesses from outside the jurisdiction.
I think a lot of citizens would think there's some kind of watchdog or some kind of mechanism. And you always hear the politicians recommending things to the ethics commissioner. Do you think we have an ethics commissioner or watchdog at all that can kind of catch these things as someone to make a report?
No, and that's because the Democracy Watch has the ethics commissioner in court right now, and we filed a complaint about Christy Clark's high-priced, behind-closed-doors, exclusive fundraising events that she's been holding the last couple of years, where people have paid up to $20,000 to be behind closed doors with her or her cabinet ministers. What we did was we filed this complaint now a year ago, and the ethics commissioner didn't even investigate who organized those events, who was at the events. He just ruled there's no conflict of interest, actually no appearance of a conflict of interest in those events. And BC has a very strong standard in its law, the strongest in the country, which is that you can't even be in the appearance of a conflict of interest. But he didn't even investigate before ruling that there was no conflict of interest. And he couldn't know whether there was a conflict of interest unless he investigated. You know, it's possible that a company wanting a decision from Premier Clark or a cabinet minister organized an event and raised a bunch of money for the BC Liberal Party. Well, that would cause it much more than the appearance of a conflict of interest. It would cause a direct conflict of interest. So we have him in court challenging his ruling, and we're also challenging the Premier's and Cabinet's decision to approve the Kinder Morgan pipeline, because that's another whole conflict of interest situation that's specific.
I was speaking with a Liberal supporter the other day and mentioned what you just brought up about Kinder Morgan, over $600,000 in donations to the Liberal Party and the approval. Everything about it looks bad. And they said to me, and you'll hear the Premier say this, that she stood back and she had nothing to do with that decision. She removed herself from the decision-making process. And this is a common, you'll always hear this when politicians have a perceived conflict. They say that they stepped away from the decision. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, that's actually what she has claimed in her response to our lawsuit that Democracy Watch and Pipe Up Network have filed, challenging the ethics of the Kinder Morgan pipeline approval. The basis, as you mentioned, is that we're saying the appearance of a conflict of interest was created by more than $630,000 in donations by Kinder Morgan and pipeline-connected companies in the past 5 years to the BC Liberal Party. So to try and dodge that bias issue, Premier Clark is saying, I didn't take part at all in approving the Kinder Morgan pipeline. And it's an amazing claim. We had a court hearing on Wednesday, and our case is going forward, and we'll see her put forward that argument and the court consider it. It wasn't fully considered on Wednesday, but she, in 2012, issued her government's 5 conditions for pipeline approval. And then last November, she stood up at a podium and said, my 5 conditions have not yet been met by the Kinder Morgan pipeline proposal. And then in January, she was there announcing that the Kinder Morgan pipeline had met the 5 conditions and was approved. So she was taking part in the decision making.
It's very funny.
She set the 5 conditions, and the 5 conditions included things that were not reviewed by the environmental assessment program. I mean, the government did a side deal with Kinder Morgan. The Kinder Morgan will essentially give the government $1 billion. She took part in that. So she took part in the decision making of it. And all she has to do is take part in it. She didn't have to make the decision. If you have an appearance of a conflict of interest, you're not allowed to even take part, participate in any way in the decision making. And she did participate. It's pretty clear to me. I'm not sure why she's trying to dodge this, other than I think it shows how potent our lawsuit is.
It's very interesting that she's been speaking about it the whole time. She's been interacting with the media, and all of a sudden when this money issue comes up, she's not part of it.
Yeah, so, yeah. Didn't participate in any way, is what her claim is. So we'll see. I just can't imagine that the court will say, oh, no, she's exempt. She was not participating in any way, and therefore nothing to do with whether she was in a conflict of interest is irrelevant to the case. That's going forward as well, and our case challenging the ethics commissioner. And, you know, we'll just see what happens after the election in terms of where voter support goes. The NDP and the Greens have both promised to ban corporate and union donations and put a limit on individual donations. And they haven't said what limit, and that's very important. We can talk about that a bit more. And the BC Liberals have said that they will strike a task force to examine the issue. They haven't said they'll change the law. Some media have spun it that way, which I'm sure pleases the Liberals. Like the Globe and Mail today, in an editorial, said that they've committed to changing the law. They haven't committed to changing the law. The BC Liberals have only committed to examining the current rules, and with an independent commission that will make recommendations for changes. They haven't said they'll implement those changes.
I mean, the New York media even wrote an article about how bad it is in BC, kind of a cash and carry government. And I'm just curious, have you found out what a corporate and union ban on donations would look like? Like, would it be valid, or could there be loopholes, or has there been any details on this?
Well, the biggest loophole is if you still allow individuals to donate a significant amount of money, more than what an average voter can afford. And the reason that that's a loophole is we've already seen in BC the Globe and Mail reveal that lobbyists were buying tickets to events, making donations, and then getting reimbursed by their clients. And that's illegal under the Act, and there's an RCMP investigation right now, because you have to give your own money. You can't give on behalf of someone else for an obvious reason, right? If you could, someone could take $1 million and give it on behalf of 1,000 people, and each donation would seem to be quite small, and they would be able to hide the fact that they had actually given $1 million. So we've already seen that, and that's what happens in jurisdictions. It's happened at the federal level. It happened in Quebec. and it's happened in Alberta. When corporate and union donations are banned, but individuals are allowed to give a large amount, a few thousand dollars, then corporations start giving money to their executives and their executive spouses, and they start giving the donation. So a corporation might have given $50,000 before, and now if a $5,000 donation limit is put in place, they give 10 executives $5,000 each, and they give it, and boom, the corporation's given $50,000 still, even though there's a ban on corporate and union donations. And no one can be prosecuted under this for violating the rules, because if the police go and ask, or the elections agency asks the executive, was that your own money? Did you decide to give it yourself? Of course the executive says yes. And when they ask the business, did you give that money to the executive on the condition they pass it on to the party? Of course the corporation says no. So you can't prosecute anybody. And so the only way to stop the unethical, undemocratic influence of big money is to stop big money donations. Only Quebec has done it in Canada. They have a $100 donation limit, and only individuals can donate. And it's the only democratic political finance system in the country as a result.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I was just thinking to myself, how easy would it be to, you know, give each one of your employees so much to put in, and it's really hard to trace. Now,
yeah, and you know what Quebec has done? If you donate more than $50, then the donation has to be made to Elections Quebec, who then verifies it's your own money before they pass it on to the party. And that's to prevent someone still, even with a $100 donation limit, someone could walk in if they had 100 employees and say, here are the checks from my 100 employees, and give $10,000 as a result. Well, Elections Quebec would check that and would say, wait a second, these 100 checks all come from people at the same company. Seems like funneling, and would be able to stop it from happening. This is not to say that bribery has been stopped in Quebec, but bribery is at least illegal in Quebec effectively now, whereas BC and the other jurisdictions that have no limits on donations, and even the jurisdictions that have limits on donations, but the limits are quite high, effectively, it's a system of legalized bribery.
Exactly.
Where, you know, if you were in another country and the amounts that are donated in BC were donated to ruling parties and candidates of ruling parties, people would call it a bribe. But in BC, because there's a donations law that allows for it, they call it a donation. But it's essentially a legalized bribery system.
And it also comes in the form of, as you probably know, these special fundraising events where people pay enormous amounts of money to have access. Our prime minister was out here meeting with a bunch of Asian bankers, and one of them was advocating for opening a bank in Canada. And there was these huge, you know, cover fees to get into the event, which like $10,000 a plate or something. So can you speak to the ethical nature of these kind of fundraising events?
Yeah, the federal level donation is allowed each year of up to $3,100 now. $1,550 to a party, $1,550 to a riding association. And what's happening up until recently, when the Liberals were exposed, the Prime Minister and other ministers were holding these events where it was $1,500 a ticket. And 20 people would be at someone's private home getting access behind closed doors off the record to the Prime Minister or Cabinet Ministers. All we know is they held more than 90 of these events last year in 2016. We don't know the details of a whole bunch of them. We know of details about a couple of them. And there were people who were seeking or connected to people seeking favors from the government there. In one case that we filed a complaint about, the head of a drug firm called Apotex actually helped organize the event, and we filed a complaint with the Commissioner of Lobbying because lobbyists at the federal level are not allowed to do fundraising for people they're lobbying. Mm-hmm. And he was actually involved in organizing this event for the Minister of Finance, Bill Morneau, and it's illegal. So hopefully we'll get a ruling from the lobbying commissioner soon that he violated the lobbyist code of conduct by doing this. In BC, you don't have a lobbyist code of conduct, but you do have this rule that a politician can't be in the appearance of a conflict of interest. And it's a strong rule, again, the strongest in the country. And what it means is that if a lobbyist did help the premier or a cabinet minister raise money, then that cabinet minister cannot take part in any decisions that affect that lobbyist or the lobbyist clients. That would cause the appearance of a conflict of interest. The Ethics Commissioner, unfortunately, though, when we filed a complaint about these events, the Ethics Commissioner in BC didn't even investigate. So we don't know who organized these events, and we don't know whether they were lobbyists, and therefore we don't know whether they're in conflicts of interest right now, the ministers. And these conflicts of interest will continue past this election. There was a ruling back in 1993 about this rule in BC, and the Ethics Commissioner at the time ruled that people who had helped out with fundraising for a backbench MLA who later became a minister, that he was still in a conflict of interest a few years later. The conflict of interest doesn't just disappear because an election's happened. It continues, I think, actually indefinitely, but those who make these rulings have ruled that it lasts at least for a few years.
I'm going to touch on something that I don't want it to get too depressing, but sometimes people will say, if you do something unethical and you guys call them on and it goes through the judicial process, and even if they're found guilty, the fine or the cost doesn't have enough teeth to make the process not worthwhile. So what I'm saying is sometimes people look at these breaches as a cost of doing business. Is there any teeth in pursuing these? Like, say, with the Kinder Morgan, the pipeline gets built, a lot of people making money, but they get found guilty of an ethical breach. What happens, and is there any teeth in it?
Right. Well, so at the federal level, there's no penalty for violating the Conflict of Interest Act. One of the most important rules that protects our democracy in Canada, and you can violate the ethics rules in it, and you face no possible penalty. So that's how bad it is. And, you know, politicians have written these rules, this law for themselves. You have a higher chance of getting caught, and you will face a higher penalty if you park illegally anywhere in Canada than Prime Minister Trudeau or a cabinet minister will face if they break this fundamental good governance law called the Conflict of Interest Act. So it's really bad and perverse, really. In BC, the Ethics Commissioner recommends penalties to the legislature. And the penalties are that you could be reprimanded or suspended for a particular period. You could be fined up to $5,000. It's possible you could lose your seat. But the legislature has to approve of that penalty. So when there's a majority government, if a premier or a cabinet minister was caught, the members of the ruling party are not going to vote to kick them out or even to fine them. So politicians should not be judging other politicians in terms of the penalty, because they're partisan and they'll make the decision based on personal or political interests. And, you know, the opposition party members will vote for the maximum penalty, and the ruling party members will vote for no penalty. That's just not a system that means the rules will be upheld or that there'll be effective penalties. So what should happen with all these laws is that the ethics commissioners should be empowered to hand out the penalty. And the penalty should be fixed. If you break this rule, this is the penalty you pay. And it should be a sliding scale, taking into the account that most politicians across the country, or I should say all politicians, provincial, federal, are paid salaries that put them in the top 5% of wage earners in the country. You know, we're talking about $120,000 up to $300,000.
Right.
And they should be fined a minimum annual 1 year salary, because they won't take a smaller penalty seriously.
How do we go as a public implementing these kinds of progressive laws? Because we've seen over and over again, we see breaches and politicians are a little embarrassed, and then it gets out of the media for a while, and nothing seems to, it kind of carries on. So what is going to be the catalyst that's going to change all of this? I mean, people care so much about that Kinder Morgan pipeline in BC, and it looks like it's just bribe money pushing it through. So how can people get behind some new progressive laws like this? What do you think the catalyst needs to be?
Well, these things are really driven by crisis, and then it causes the opposition parties to promise that they'll change things, which has happened in BC. And then what happens is maybe there's a change in government. We'll see how the vote split happens in BC. And I mention that very specifically because I think the reason the BC Liberals have not done very much to clean this up is that they're hoping that the Green Party's strong stand on the issue will take away votes from the NDP and cause a vote split that will actually benefit the Liberals. Voters in BC trying to clean up politics right now are in a really difficult position of trying to figure out how to vote, whether to vote strategically, because the BC Liberals really should not be trusted to clean things up. They've only promised to examine the problem after the election, not even to make changes. And so it's a tough position when you have that kind of possibility of a vote split. But then it's a difficulty of getting the new ruling party, if there isn't one, to actually keep their promise.
Right.
And we have another huge gap in our ethics system for politicians and government officials, which is there's no requirement to be honest with voters. So you're allowed to bait voters with a false promise and then not keep it when you win. And lots of politicians do that. And who knows, the opposition parties may be making false promises about cleaning things up in BC right now. So voters are in a horrible position, but everyone has to keep chipping away. You know, we have online petitions at Democracy Watch and letter writing in our campaign pages. You can just click send and your letter will be sent automatically to your provincial and federal politician, to your premier and to federal party leaders. It's the only thing that's worked through history, which is, and if enough people send enough letters that the parties get scared, changes will be made. So you have to keep sending the letters and hope, despite the fact that voters are in this horrible position where politicians write the rules for themselves and bait voters with false promises, and vote splits can actually benefit parties who are the worst wrongdoers.
Exactly.
That's what we're stuck with, unfortunately.
Yeah, if we keep waiting for someone else to do it for us, we're going to be waiting a long time. And I think of the federal Liberals' promise to change the voting system, it's not going to happen. They're enjoying their majority rule with like 37% of the vote, so they're not going to go. They're not going to change it. So it's up to us. Now, I find, Duff, a big problem is people are busy in their lives. People are just trying to make a living, and it's really hard to keep up in all of these kind of sometimes complex issues. And one good way is to follow the information. You guys put a lot of great articles, and maybe if you could let our listeners know how to get that, or maybe they could subscribe to your Twitter or Facebook feed just to have a stream and let them know what's going on.
Yeah, if you're specifically concerned about money in politics, then go to stopbigmoney.ca. And if you're concerned just generally about various democratic reforms, go to democracywatch.ca, click on campaigns, and you'll see we have 15 campaigns there trying to clean up and make Canada the world's best democracy, and also a few corporate responsibility campaigns. And if you're a voter in BC, the best thing you can do is start asking everyone you know, do you vote? And for anyone who says no, help them vote. Lots of people think, oh, it's hard and I don't know how to register or things like that. I don't know what's going on. Lots of groups, unfortunately, urge people to go out and vote. They urge their members to. Their members already vote. If they belong to an interest group that's pushing for change, those kind of people already vote. So it doesn't increase voter turnout. The only thing that increases voter turnout is if voters reach out to non-voters and help them vote.
This is correct. And in BC, you'll be happy to know, and I'm sure you do know, that money in politics has been a big thing in this election. It's been one of the major themes about how all of this lobbyists and money's flowing around. So hopefully that'll have an impact in the future. And I think we're almost at the end. So let our folks know again the different websites and any final thoughts.
Sure. Stopbigmoney.ca. We'll take you directly to Democracy Watch's Money in Politics campaign and democracywatch.ca, and then click on campaigns. That will take you to all the campaigns we have for democratic reforms, to pushing for changes to ensure everyone in politics across Canada is required to be honest, ethical, open, representative, and waste preventing.
And any final thoughts? This is an issue not only for Canadians, but for Americans and anyone across the spectrum who is trying to improve their democracy. So any final thoughts on this issue before we go?
You just have to keep pushing, and and try and figure out the best party to vote for each time. If you don't vote, then politicians don't care about you. They get their jobs by people voting for them or against, and lose their jobs by people voting against them. So it's a tough position that people are in, but you just have to keep pushing, working in coalitions, supporting the groups that are trying to push for these changes, and keep sending those letters, because politicians will change their mind if they receive enough letters from people who voted for them in the last election saying that they will not vote for them in the upcoming election. That's what motivates them, no matter what they say. They always say they're concerned about everyone. They're concerned about keeping their jobs. It just shows so clearly from their actions. And they're concerned about people who voted for them who are changing their minds.
Thank you so much for joining us and spending a few moments with us. And we'll talk again soon.
My pleasure.
We've come to the end of our show, Latin Waves. Latin Waves is an internationally syndicated weekly program made available through campus and community stations and available out to the world at www.latinwavesmedia.com. Visit Latin Waves Media to hear previous shows, to access resources, or support our efforts towards social change via community project engagement. Thank you, and bye.